Well, the scriptures that I have in the bulletin, we're not going to use those today. God changed the message, but it's the same line. You know, it's knowledge that overcomes. And, you know, one of the things that the Lord brought me into this subject to begin with was taking me back to things that I'd been taught years and years ago is when I came into the kingdom, that people taught me and put into me the things they began to teach. And there's things that I began to look on in the scriptures in myself and begin to see deeper into those things. But those things were real. These things are really important. Many people today have a flawed knowledge. Even the kingdom of God have a flawed knowledge. One of the things you hear a lot today about, they talk about, well, you know, say the younger people today and coming out of colleges, they talk about the colleges are indoctrinating people. And well, the word indoctrination is not bad in itself. And we got a bad idea about this. You need to understand, you're indoctrinated into the kingdom. You're getting doctrine. The Bible talks about doctrine. There's foundation. But doctrine can be flawed. The Lord dealt with me about this and wanted me to talk about this morning because we're taking communion. God wants us to understand the fullness of what we do, because then if you do, you can enter into the fullness of His blessing. This is what He's interested in. God's just not giving you information so you know a lot of stuff. No, it's to produce something in your life. It'll bless you. First God blessed Abraham, then He made him a blessing. He didn't say, well, if you go out here and you're a blessing to everybody else, then I'll bless you. Do you know that's basically the idea of taught today? The idea is taught today, you go be a blessing, then God will bless you. No, God wants to bless you.
Amen.
And He wants, because you know what? You can't be a blessing until you get blessed. And see, we ought to change the way we think. Our indoctrination many times is wrong. Things are put into us, you know, I give because I'm blessed. I'm not giving trying to get blessed.
Amen.
I am blessed. When I got that revelation that I was blessed, I never gave any more to get blessed. I gave because I am blessed. Surely I will be blessed. Just the way it does. It's a vicious circle that I like living in. And so we want to talk about those things today. We're going to talk about one of the things we're going to discuss, because we're taking communion, and the Lord spoke to me about this, about the way we think and stuff, and dealing with communion, coming to the communion table is what we want to, is what He's dealing with, is what is the representation of this, you know, this communion. And most people look at it as Passover, which it is not. Understand, we need this. Israel had Passover, the church don't. And you know why? God didn't pass over our sins.
That's right.
But most of the church, God passed over. You know, Israel, when God initiated Passover, Passover didn't change those people, did it?
No.
No, it didn't. He's giving information to them about Himself and His holiness and His purity. But when they put blood over the doorpost, that blood didn't affect them much other than the fact that that blood on those doorposts, the death angel went over them and never didn't show up there, but they didn't change at all. Because we know when they ended up going over the land and disobeying God and having to die in the wilderness. So the blood didn't change them. Why? It was the blood of a lamb. It couldn't. It couldn't do it. That lamb couldn't, a natural lamb could not do it. There was not power in that blood to change them. There's types and shadows that we can see in those things. But those things, many times, the church has followed the pattern of the types and shadows and used it as indoctrination in the church, and the church has not walked in the fullness of who they are. And we need to come to that. Understand that. They got forgiveness of sin. I and you got redemption. They never got redemption. They only got forgiveness. And the doctrination of the church today is forgiveness. The church emphasizes forgiveness and not redemption. I want to say something to you. There is forgiveness in redemption, but there is not redemption in forgiveness. See, redemption's like having a pie. And in that pie has a mixture of things that makes it a pie. If you have an apple pie, just having apples don't make a pie. Well, having forgiveness don't make a redemption. And we need to live in the light of redemption. Israel was not redeemed from the curse of the law. They were not redeemed. Why? They only had forgiveness. They did not have redemption. Communion is not about forgiveness. It's about redemption. It has forgiveness in it. But it is the symbols of redemption. The church don't preach that. They pray, you know, it's all about forgiveness of sin, forgiveness of sin. And so people, the church lives under the curse. The church lives under the curse. People have a terrible time getting out from under the curse. Why? Because I got forgiveness of sin. Well, forgiveness of sin don't redeem you from the curse. And so we got to change the way we think. It's one of the things that we need to get in our mind. It's like you've heard me say many times, the gospel is much better than it's preached. It's not preached near as good as it is. We don't preach it in the fullness, and we're dealing with people. And the church, basically, they're trying to get people's sins forgiven instead of getting them redeemed. you need your sins forgiven. Israel had forgiveness of sin. If that's what it was we needed, well, Jesus could have stayed at home. We could just kept killing lambs and bulls and goats and just kept doing the thing. If that's what, but nobody went to heaven in that. Nobody got changed.
Amen.
Even in our songs that we sing, it is part of the indoctrination and the ideas of, you know, it's all about, I got washed up. I didn't got washed up. I got changed. The guy that was a sinner is dead.
Amen.
He's gone. Say, can you find him? See, when we say our sins are as far as the east is from the west, mine's further than that. They can't even find the dude that died. He no doesn't even exist anymore. He ain't no, you go to the west all you want, or you go to the east all you want, you ain't finding him.
That's right.
He ain't in either of those directions. We're not washed up. We're not cleaned up. What I need to clean up is my thinking. I need to clean up my flesh, get my flesh under control. But the man, the real man, the real me, he don't need cleaned up. He's a new man. Hallelujah.
Yes.
He's new.
Amen.
And so, you know, they just, you know, the church has preached a forgiveness. We're nothing but a chalkboard and somebody just got an eraser out. And what does God got the eraser out? But you know what? It's the same old dirty chalkboard. It still has that. You know what? Do you ever notice when you erase, it never really gets clean like it was before? You can wash that thing. Once you do, and that's the church today. That's the doctrine of the church. The dirty Christian. The chalk just got pushed around from one place to another. And now what they would use markers, but when they even clean the markers, you can still see where the other markers. we shouldn't be thinking or preaching it from that. So we should not be doing that. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. There's one thing I learned from Kenneth Hagin. I got born again and listening to his testimony about him getting saved from the time I was born again. You know the big thing that really changed his life? He always introduced himself to people that I'm a new creation. See, he lived in the light of new creation. Most people don't. The average Christian lives in the light of forgiveness. No, I'm a new creation. I'm not the same guy. I'm not the same person. He had one of his close friends who, when he got saved, and who he said came to visit him one time while he was really sick and dying, but he said never came back to see him again. But after he was healed, he saw this guy, and this guy said to him and reminded him about things they used to do. And Kenneth Hagin said to him, he said, I don't know what you're talking about. And he said, what do you mean you don't know what I'm talking about? You were there. He said, no, that guy's dead.
Amen.
See, most of us, our past is more important than our future. Our memory of the past. You know, I found out about things as memory, clinging to the past. See, one of the things is about it, even when I came back from Vietnam, I decided this. I wasn't clinging to that. You know, I had to go through those things. But you know, I decided this. I'm not going to cling to that. That's not going to be my life and my memory. You know, that's not going to be my thing. You know, there's enough stuff that happens that's bad enough about that. And everybody, you know, people do like, they like to drag it out, but you gotta be watched about how you think. Most people can't handle that. And they do that, it's not a good thing to do. Because some people can have enough to struggle with without having around talking about it all the time to people. Can have enough to struggle with on those things. And so we need to understand those things as people talk about them. You know, this is why some people wait many years before they talk about it. They gotta get to the place where they can talk about it. That it doesn't dominate them.
Amen.
See, I found this out. When I came back from Nam, the guys who just couldn't shut up about it when they came back and just talking about all the stuff, ended up messed up. Mm-hmm. You just got to learn to shut up. You know, people to ask you, come a dumb question. You know, you always get the stupid people. The first question is, did you ever kill anybody? Say, no, but I see you today and I've been thinking about it. They usually don't ask you anymore after that. People are just dumb as a stick. I mean, in other words, the way we think, we have a glorious future. But if things are not taught right and we don't put on the right thinking, we don't get to walk in the glory of the future that God has for us. I don't want to wait to get to heaven. You know, the more I see and how good God is to me, the easier it is to worship God. I mean, my God, He's so wonderful. My God, He's so great. People have a hard time worshiping is because they don't know nothing about Him. They're self-centered and selfish. They don't know how good He is. And so they can't walk in that goodness, and so they're blaming everybody and everything else and even Him. Why? Their life's the way it is.
Amen. Preach. That's right.
It's because of them. When you find out how good He is, it's like, oh my words. When we understand redemption and its glory, it's like it's a phenomenal thing because it's not something we're trying to go through. Galatians in the 3rd chapter, 2 familiar scriptures, we'll read 13 and 14. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. But Christ has redeemed us. The word has, that's past tense. Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. Now, the law, there was a law in Deuteronomy 28. Now, we use Deuteronomy 28 as the blessing and the curse. But actually, the 28th, 29th, and even into the 30th chapter talks about curse. You can go in and still talk about Israel, what happened. In fact, Israel actually fulfilled the curse of the law in doing it. You read what happened to Israel. The things that are stated in the curse, Israel had come to at one time or another in their nation where those things actually happened to them. God was just telling mankind, and I want you to know today there's things in our nation that our nation is living under a curse because of our neglecting to walk in the light that God has given us. Now, is God, we say that, people say, well, God cursed us. God didn't curse us. There's rules and laws about how things operate. Just in our nation. When we talk about the curse of the law, how people think about that. Now we have, curse is nothing but the judgment that happens if you disobey something. In other words, there's rules that if you do good, this happens, or if you do bad, that happens. God isn't sitting up there and saying, well, you know, I'm going to make this bad thing happen to you. No, you will. By your obedience or disobedience to doing good or bad. See, we have laws today that we have laws and rules. And there is a curse to every law. There's a blessing. If you don't disobey, you don't get in this trouble. But if you disobey, there's trouble you can get into. This is one of the curses in America right now because the Americans do not carry out the curse against evil people. We keep trying to figure out how to let them go and let them do with things and don't punish them. Do you know the purpose of punishment? Is to scare the hell out of people. That's what it's for. And you need to know that as parents. Your children need to be scared to do wrong.
Amen. Preach.
They need to be scared to do wrong. The Bible talks about punch using the rod. It says it'll drive you know, disobedience out of a child. It'll drive it out of them. Don't. See what I mean? There is a curse. The curse of the law falls on people to make people say, I want to do that again. I'm not going to disobey again. No, today, how many, no, this is one thing. And as I watch with people, you know, somebody does something, you shouldn't be doing that. They don't ever do anything about it. You shouldn't be, now stop that. Now quit that. And they do it 10 times. What they do is invite the person to do it again. That's what you just said. I ain't going to do nothing about it. Go ahead and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
This idea that if we don't punish people, they'll like us and then they won't do bad. You know, anybody thinks like that, I want you to just tell you this. They are a child of the devil.
Yeah.
And if it's a Christian does it, that Christian is yielded to the devil just as much as the sinner is.
Amen. Preach.
That's right.
Preach.
We need to understand this about what goes on. See, the Bible deals with this in a subject. When we deal redeemed, we're going to talk about this redeemed from the curse of the law thing. We need to understand this. You and I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. But that doesn't mean we can just rebel against God and nothing's going to happen.
Amen.
That is the way it works. You're redeemed. Your spirit is, but you got to bring your flesh under control. The curse is to bring your flesh back. Do you understand that? You see, my spirit wants to follow God.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
See, this is a man. I'm redeemed from the curse. I am. The real me is. Now, if I want my flesh not to have curse, then I need to follow my inner man. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The blessing comes from walking in the Spirit. What was the promise of Abraham? Well, the blessing of Abraham comes on us, and we get, what do we get out of that? The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's what we get. Now you have a brand new spirit. You're a brand new person. That brand new person, as we could say in a sense, is a person, a brand new slate. It's that person, it's just like an innocent child being born into the earth. It's just as innocent. I that's why we're the righteousness of God. That my new birth, when I got born again, I was righteous as God is.
Amen.
Amen.
See, this is redemption. They had none of that. Forgiveness of sin never brought nothing like that. This is redemption. This is what the blood of Jesus brought. We need to understand, a lamb couldn't make this blood. This is why communion is based in the fact, the first thing it does is his body. Jesus was a man. It required a man and a man's blood to pay for my sin. Now it required this, a perfect man. Jesus was the perfect man. My redemption is paid for by his blood. That's why we drink the blood. We're one with the blood. That blood was put in the holies of holies of heaven. You and I, this is all about redemption. Redemption is 1,000 times more than forgiveness of sin.
Amen.
But the church lived in this little tiny area. We know this, that the majority of Christianity, even spirit-filled Christians, don't believe that they should be healed and should be well. That's the way they should be. They believe, well, you just come, you get it, and then try to get it off. They believe God to get healed. We don't believe, see, we don't really believe and teach divine healing anymore. We don't believe coming to places, hey, let's get this thing. Oh, I don't want none of this around. We don't inoculate ourselves.
Amen. That's right. Yeah.
People are generally waiting for something to come and let's try to get it off of us. It's because man doesn't know redemption. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Now, it didn't say, now the church basically believes this day, we've been redeemed from the blessing too. You know, because all that good doesn't belong to us either because you're here. God's using bad things to try to teach you and train you and that stuff and he's got to knock you in the head because you're so stupid. You know, you weren't born in the nature of God. You don't have the life of God. See, we take what God does. We don't realize we're dealing with our flesh and we don't use the knowledge of the inner man to walk in the light, to keep this outer man in line and keep him well, keep him sound. We ain't doing that.
Amen.
We're not keeping him sound and well. We're not living in the light of what's in us and say, hey, devil, you ain't done. Here's the church for you. Know you're just going to sin. The inner man says, I ain't. The real you says, I'm not. No, but I'm going to let my flesh go because you know how it is. I'm not really redeemed. I'm just forgiven. We're teaching weakness instead of strength.
Amen.
We're not teaching ability. Grace is ability. Grace isn't getting by with things. Grace is the power of God that works in me to become what I cannot be. Grace is God's ability that works through my inner man to subdue my outer man. To bring my outer man in to the outer man. The devil is working into the earth to curse everything. He's done a great job of it. The church has not walked in the light of redemption from the curse of the law. The curse is every ugly thing. And it's now, you know, we are going to go all through this, but I want you to understand this. If you look at it from the standpoint of the curse doesn't just touch me as a person. It means my sin dealing with my family and even my nation. It talks about massive. What happens to people as a people? What happens to them when they walk and turn from God?
Amen.
See, a Christian that don't walk right with God, I believe is worse for a nation than the sinner themselves.
Amen. Amen.
Should I say, well, I will. I'll say it. I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to say it. The Lord had talked to me about this. We need to understand, you know, one of the things I personally, we're not going to have a move of God until there's a bunch of people die off who have walked through and have been in the revivals and things and today don't walk with God, and they're going to have to be removed before God will move again. I'm just telling you. See, there's things that hinder moves of God. And people who don't walk in the light of what they have hinder the move of God. The church. You see, the first time I got, many years ago, I got light on this is Brother Hagin teaching because he wanted to know what was going on during the healing revivals. Think about it, the healing revivals were going on. Brother Hagin's the one around minister, but he said, well, I went to certain places in certain cities and I could not get moves of God going. He said, you went there. He said, you'd have good meetings here, good there. You go there and you can't. And he asked the Lord what was going on. And the Lord said to him, he said, they're not going to have a move of God till that generation dies off. He said, they had moves of God there. They didn't walk in light of it.
Amen.
And he said, that generation's going to have to die before I'll bring that back. See, we know in America we're in that. God started to show me in America, we're in that today. Many people who have experienced the move of God, they want a move of God back, but they ain't walking in the light to have one. They don't realize they're a dam stopping the move of God. I want something that I'm not really after. I want something. You see, God expects us. You know, if we got like God, we'd have great, you know, we wouldn't be going through this today with a generation of people who don't want to work and don't want to do things and are just like, we wouldn't have that if people had done right. Yeah. We wouldn't be doing none of that. We wouldn't have, you know, 20-some-year-olds living at home and mom and dad still supporting them and they just go to work whatever they want to or doing so. We wouldn't have none of this stuff. Amen. This stuff goes on because the Christians did it too. Kept taking care of the hellions.
Amen. Preach.
And then we say, well, once I'm hold it. We did this thing. Calling it love, and it wasn't love at all. Saying, no. Train up a child in the way he should go. It doesn't say teach up a child. Train it. It's what you make them do.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We trained our children. We made them do things.
Amen.
They didn't come out with any expectation in life when they graduated that I was going to take care of them for the rest of their life.
Amen.
They had no doubt. Why? We taught them how to take care of themselves, and they've done great in life. And they've done great. We didn't have to try to talk them into following God. Train up a child in the way they'll go.
Amen.
See, today, you know, today we really got a mess. Because, see, when Christianity got out of this, then we got into a lot of marriage, divorces, marriage. We got, you know, three husbands and three wives and different ones all mixed up now in the same family. And we got all this stuff, and kids are all messed up. Now, people might like to hear that. They say, well, God forgives you. God will forgive you of anything, but that doesn't mean you ain't going to pay the cost of it.
Amen.
There's a price to things.
Amen.
You see, we've missed this thing. We've gotten over into this thing. We've let this stuff fly by us, and we just like, well, forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. I want to walk in redemption.
Amen.
I want to live in because redemption is the place of power. Redemption's the place where we overcome. It's a place where God's blessing flows freely. And it don't just bless it. I don't want to be the problem of bringing curse on other people.
Amen.
The self-centered, selfish American people, it's all like, you know, it's a me channel. You know, my God. That's all we need is a me channel. Actually, I've seen it. I've never even looked at it. That's on me channel, and I'm not interested in that. I've had enough of me. I lived with me for 30 years. It wasn't good. And if you aren't tired of me yet in your life, well, then you're in trouble. You're going to go down a bad road some more. I've had it with me. Glory to God. But Christ has redeemed you from the curse. In other words, when you got born again, there is not anything that's against you. It is not forgiveness. It's as if there is a being that is completely new. There is nothing against it. There's nothing wrong. There's no judgments against it whatsoever. You got born again. You became a child of God. You had God's very own righteousness. In other words, if you were just cleaned up, God could not give you righteousness. He never gave. Israel only had a righteousness that was by faith. That's all they could have. They were never actually given it. You're actually righteous. You have become the righteousness of God. That's what you are. And you could have only done that through redemption. That could not happen through forgiveness. Couldn't happen. Impossible. Israel had forgiveness, but they didn't have righteousness. They were trusting in a righteousness that was just by faith. And if they didn't walk by faith, they didn't have it. Ours is a given righteousness. You have God's righteousness. You know, you might go out here and miss it and get over in the flesh, but you're still God's righteousness. Righteousness with God can never be earned. Never can't be earned. It's an impossibility. It's a birthright.
Yep.
You know, just like you were born into a family, the family you were genetically born into, they can say and do whatever they want. They can throw you out. Sorry. Yeah. They can't really throw you out. Genetically, that's what it is.
That's right.
Well, spiritually, you're genetically tied to God. That's it. You might live dumb, but I'm going to tell you what. You are still what God made you. That's it. You might not enjoy a bit of it. But, see, this is what I mean. But you are. This is where the deception of forgiveness comes when it's preached that you're only these things because if God forgives you for it. In other words, you're not. See, if I sin, oh, I must not be righteous anymore. Mm-hmm. See, when we talk about sin, we're talking about works of the flesh. This is what sin is. It's not works of the spirit. If your spirit's over the areas and don't want to live in sin, you're in big trouble. You're in big trouble. You're in big trouble. Your inner man is one of the things in this. I found this all the time. Going to people that, guys, people get born again. After a while, they don't follow God, live with God, they don't. You talk to them about it, they know they're not living right. Why? Their inner man, their own conscience, the inner man, the guy that's right on the inside is telling you, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. They know it. We have to convince them.
Yep.
You know, there's one still lie to you for a while. Say, well, I do this and it don't bother me. Well, then why do you get so mad at me when I mention it? Why? Why? Because you're lying and you know it. You're in the man saying, you dirty dog, shut up. Bring your flesh under. not your flesh. You see, understand, God's not promoting sin in the flesh, but there's one thing around. When you don't understand redemption, you're going to live on a low level. That's where you're going to live. You see, I remember, and I've talked about this before, when I got born again, I wasn't born again real long, and you know, you start seeing things in the Word, I'm listening to good teaching, you know, and my attempt is to try, I'm trying to walk in places I really don't have enough revelation to walk in, you know. And you get over and you end up, what you end up is criticizing yourself. You miss it and not doing as well as you think you ought to, you know. You know, you're the 3-year old that thinks you ought to be able to jump 6 feet, you know, high, you know, just. and you can't do it, but you know what, you don't do it so you feel bad about yourself because you watch the guy that's 6 foot tall jump 6 feet. But that's all, yeah, you think, why can't I do that? Well, you know, you get over there. Well, I got over and missed it into things. Is number one. One of the things that is because, see, I was born and raised, and I had to get religion out of me. Most Christians keep their religion, and they just add some good things to them, but they keep a lot of their religion, you know. And then I had the help of so-called ministers and people teaching, and they said, you know, they make these say, well, the heart's always to do evil. Man's heart's always to do evil. You just talk about that's under the law. That's people under the law. They weren't saved. Their heart wasn't right. Well, see, you get over that thing, and so you're listening to people talk about it, and these are people, they're spiritual people, but they're saying wrong things. They're teaching doctrine of forgiveness and not redemption. Well, see, I didn't know that at that time. I didn't realize what was going on. So I got over, and I'm looking at, well, see, I wouldn't be doing this if my heart was right. So I'm like, you know, my heart ain't right. Well, I'm going to tell you what, your heart isn't right toward God. You're in big trouble. And I'll never forget, because I was literally, as a young Christian, I'm laying on the floor of the bedroom, and I mean, I'm weeping before God. I just, you know, God was, I'm missing it, I just, and I mean, it rose, I heard this come up, and it said, your heart's perfect toward me. And I thought that was the devil for sure, you know. Devil, no, I wouldn't be dead. My heart was right. So, I just ignored it. And went on my way and my thinking. And this voice said it again. He said again, your heart is perfect toward me. Well, you know, surely it must be the devil trying to trick me. Because religion don't teach that. And I went again the third time. And it said it. And finally, the Holy Spirit rose up in me and said, you look at your heart. He said, the Lord said, you love me with all your heart. And I stopped. And I thought, you know, I do. I love God with all my heart. See, what I did wasn't from my heart. What I was doing, I did from my flesh. I didn't know enough to do things. But you know what? See, you go there, and the Lord said this to me. Now, Christians probably wouldn't, many ministers and Christians wouldn't want to say this, but the Lord said this to me, quit judging yourself after the flesh. Now, what did he mean by that, yourself? Now, we should judge our flesh. But you watch, see, myself was my real me. I was judging my heart against what my flesh was doing. That is wrong. You know why? It brought condemnation. I was saying my heart was guilty for what my flesh did. That isn't the light of redemption. That ain't walking in redemption. That's not redemption. That's lying about my spirit is what it's doing. Calling my spirit, telling it it's doing wrong when it had done nothing wrong. It was right. It was heading in the right direction. I was just missing it in the flesh. See, you won't overcome if you keep criticizing your spirit. Your spirit, your safety, it's your place of light. It's the place where God meets with you. Your inner man's redeemed from the curse of the law. There's no curse on him. There's no curse on that man. I can bring curse on my flesh by yielding to the flesh and doing things. Well, really, did you ever read what the curse is? It's about things that happen in the natural. And your flesh, by yielding to your flesh, can bring things to pass in the natural that you didn't want. doing wrong things, you know, doing the flesh, go out here, you know, do something crazy, you know, get in the car and do something crazy in the flesh, and don't be surprised they arrest you, and you know, you end, judgment comes against you. There is a curse to doing those things. That, you know, you do that, that's your flesh. That's to maintain. See, the Bible says this, the law is not for you and me. Do you know, our governmental laws is not trying to keep me in line. It has to with most Christians. Because most Christians walk in the flesh. They need governmental laws to keep them in line. See, I don't have to, they don't have to worry about anybody Ed murdering anybody. You don't have to worry about Ed doing this guy. See why? Because the laws are what for the lawless. And when people become lawless, what happens to them? The scripture tells us that a person who doesn't obey the law, the government is supposed to punish them severely that they are afraid to do evil. We don't. I'm going to rehabilitate them by telling them everything. We love you. Everything's all right. Everything's good. Yeah. We're going to rehabilitate you. No. It said, you're supposed to make them scared to do evil. Amen. See, America don't follow. We talk about Christianity. Christianity don't follow the Bible. We're afraid to scare anybody. I'm just telling you, you better scare some people.
Amen.
This is why nations get to rise up. This is why Japan got to rise up and attack our nation. Because our nation would not stand up against evil when they saw it and said, hey, hold it. You suckers, sit down over there. We're going to come visit you.
Amen.
Amen.
No, we let them come kill us first. They messed around over in Germany with a thing going on. Why? Because they're not following righteous things. Love's not a spectator.
Amen.
We don't love justice. We don't love these things. We're redeemed from the curse. We're taking communion. We're the people redeemed from the curse. I don't want to bring curse. I don't want to be part of the bringing the curse folk.
Amen.
You need to realize, people out here, there's different classes of people. What's your expectation on people who are lawless and do things? What's your expectation concerning them? Just griping about it, voting people into office, and they ain't going to do nothing about it. You know, we're expecting the ungodly to do something about the ungodly. The demand for righteousness. See, that's like with us, is to live a life of righteousness. If we believe we're just going to miss it, we shouldn't be surprised. Everybody else does too. If that's our expectation. See, you're redeemed. There's no curse on you. If you and I live perfectly toward the life of God in us to the knowledge we have, you won't commit a sin. Now that doesn't mean you might not miss it according to things. You need to understand this. You could only live in the knowledge you have. God considers any man perfect who lives in the knowledge he has. He's perfect. He's a perfect man. So you can't live it. You know, you get a child. You know, I remember, you know, there's things about children. I see some children, like in a sense, they're almost like a perfect child to have, you know, around. Well, doesn't they do everything right? With the knowledge of being a child, they're a good kid, man. That's a good child. Then you get those children, it's like, my God, that's the devil on wheels. And he didn't get there by himself. He got there with help from parents and people who let him do that.
Amen. Preach.
I just listened to a Christian talking about how to raise kids, this woman. And she's about when the kids go through their terrible twos. I'm sorry, our kids never went through terrible twos. You don't have what you say.
That's right.
You believe that crazy woman? I don't care if she's a Christian. She's a nut. She's confessing evil on you and your kids. And I want to go to her for counsel? See, I believe in redemption. My children were blessed after me, not cursed after me.
That's right.
They're blessed. As their words, it was in my doing and my believing and my saying and my walking is what brought them into line. Not me trying to figure everything else out. People don't live in the light of redemption. I'm glad I learned it. I was taught it early. I'm glad I learned it early. I'm glad I learned it early that Ed wasn't cursed. That Ed was blessed. Ed did dumb things, but Ed was still blessed. He was still redeemed from the curse.
Amen.
That's right.
The real me. See, people aren't living in light of who they are, who they really are.
Amen.
Communion's about who we really are. And you know what the church uses it for? To measure sin against people. Now, rightfully, we should judge ourselves. Paul told the church at Corinth concerning communion table, judge yourself. You judge it. Where's he judging? The flesh. Not your spirit. Your flesh. Bringing your flesh into line because you don't want curse to come on your flesh for what your flesh does. You know, my spirit has not gotten sick one time since I'm saved. My spirit has never been sick. It has always been full of health, and the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead's in it. And it, you know what the spirit wants to do? Keep my body alive. Keep it running good. It's not trying to do something against it.
Right.
What I do in the flesh has been causing me problems. Not the inner man. The inner man never coughs. He don't sneeze. He don't need an injection from COVID.
Amen.
He needs none of that. The real Ed, did you look? If it wasn't that way, when you died and went to heaven, you'd have all the problems you have here on the earth.
Amen. That's right.
As soon as you take that stupid body off, things improve.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, how? The only reason heaven's good because God won't let you bring your stupid body there.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
But the church, they look at heaven, they even drag to what their body says heaven's going to be to heaven. I hear Christian talk the dumbest stuff about, well, I hope this is in heaven, or I hope that. They think all earthly in their minds about what heaven is. Thank God heaven ain't going to be like they say. My God. You know, I hope they live in a different town up there. I just... I don't know, maybe some people are going to live outside the wall. I don't know. But I want you to get thinking, right? You have been redeemed. Get to think about who you are, who you really are. If it becomes to you a revelation of who you really are, you're the blessed. You haven't been redeemed from the blessing, you've been redeemed from the curse. So whatever the blessing says that you have, those things belong to you. See, if people, the church actually believed these doctrines, we wouldn't have today that some people believe God would want you sick. We bring judgment upon ourselves because we do things in the flesh. Whether we do things that are against the law of God, you know, you can do things against the law of nature and it'll hurt you and you'll pay a price for it. You need to understand that. You can defy the law. You can defy safety laws and you can pay a price for it. Noble Hayes, not Noble Hayes, but Charles Capps, he made this statement. Now, Charles Capps, he was a man of faith. He knew how to operate in faith here, but he said this, isn't it amazing the devil can't kill as many people in car accidents since they make people wear seatbelts?
Mm-hmm.
He said the devil can't kill as many. He said the devil wasn't killing any. He said safety laws are violated. You need to understand how many people die because of disobeying safety laws.
Amen.
Look it up sometime. Go online, look it up, how many people die each year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want you to understand this about safety laws. There are Christians that have trouble because they won't obey the laws the government sets to them for safety.
Amen.
Well, I don't like wearing seatbelts because, you know, I feel uncomfortable. Well, shut up with your flesh and obey, because the Bible says this, if you don't obey your governing authorities, you don't obey God. So don't, you're in sin. Put it on and shut up.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Train your children and people around you. Don't be surprised. Quit complaining about them disobeying God when you do it in front of them all the time.
Amen.
Teach your kids not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them to disobey the governing authorities. They ain't hurting your spirituality by doing that. They're saving dumb people. Well, I know a guy who died because he had his seatbelt. Well, that was 1 out of 10,000. So, oh my God, I'm glad you picked that guy. That just shows how low people's intelligence are.
Yeah.
I'm going to justify my evil. I don't care what anybody says.
Amen. Amen.
Heck, I was safer in Vietnam than I was in America. Do you know, in 2 years, just alone in deaths in 2 years of the Vietnam War, just 2 years, killed more people by drunk drivers in America than died in the entire Vietnam War. And the people in America, oh, they're killing great people. But we're drinking, killing here, my God. Where were the college students then? No, they were doing the drinking and driving. A rebellious people.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't tell me to keep my flesh under. Worried about some guy shooting them, they're doing everything to kill themselves.
Amen. Preach.
You know, we're sitting here today and we, you know, if people didn't use drugs in America, we wouldn't have drug cartels.
That's right.
Amen.
Do you know what? I'm tired of this, of people crying about their kids dying on drugs.
Amen.
What was your kid doing drugs to begin with? Well, it's fentanyl. Oh, well, if they weren't using drugs, it wouldn't have happened.
Amen.
Amen.
Hold it. Let's stop this stuff. We refuse to take our... Let's have a war on the cartels. No. Let's have a war on parents who are gutless, won't stand up and say, no, you ain't doing that around me. You hear that? I will not support you and you do here. If you want to die on the street, you die on the street. But we ain't supporting it.
Amen.
No, say, no, come on, we'll take care of you. And when you mess up, we'll just take care of you again. And we'll just... Say, in fact, you know, I'll buy you the drugs. I don't care. Just so you can be around me. I don't want to be hurt. Don't love people, they love themselves. Self-centeredness. See, we need to get around to this stuff. Now, I know this is hard talking about, because I know this. People who do that never judge themselves.
Amen. Preach.
So I have to judge myself. I have to look and say, hey, you know, you're a knucklehead, you did it. That's wrong. That's just, no, we're not going to make an excuse. I've heard people do this where they think they get forgiven by God. They'll confess their sin and say, yeah, but they did do this to me. In other words, I ain't letting it alone yet. Mm-hmm. And say, well, I asked God to forgive me. You wasted your time. Go down to the bar and have a drink. You'd be better off. At least you ain't lying. Mm-hmm. The reason... we don't change for this reason. We don't know who we are.
Amen.
You see, sin's not bad when you don't know who you are. If you're just a forgiven sinner, your expectation is you're just evil. That's what you are. It's the norm for you to do wrong. It's the norm for you to do wrong. But when you know who you are, did you ever look in the natural at people, those stuff? Do you know, you don't go around and find rich people trying to act like they're poor people.
That's right.
Amen. You know, they're not trying to do that. You know, they don't drive rat rods. They don't try to say, this is cool. I want a car that looks ugly. It's so ugly, it's almost neat. See the new heaven and the new earth with rat rods in them. I just don't. You see, when man doesn't know who he is,
That's right. Yeah. And
what he is, you know, this is one of the things that people have a hard time, and even conservatives and Republicans have a hard time with Trump. Trump knows who he is. He's a leader. He knows, he's like no other president we've ever had.
Amen.
Because you know what? It's been so long since we had a president.
Amen.
We don't even know what a president is anymore.
Amen.
Congress has not had, most of our congressmen today have been down there for 40 years and never had a real president.
Yep.
Amen.
They've never had a guy stand up and say, hey, hold on. They never had a person tell the truth. You know, you're heading in a direction, having a news conference, and then some guy stands up and says something completely real ridiculous thing. He was just telling them to shut up and sit down. And like, we ain't talking about that. We don't know a person who's honest and straight. We ain't had one. And so he doesn't follow decorum. Praise God. I hope he never does.
Amen.
I want him to call out more Republicans. That's what I want him to do.
Amen.
I want him to tell them to shut up and sit down.
Amen.
What would they know about doing right? They've had their chance. Those Republicans in the House have had their chance. Well, what if he does this and it's wrong? Let's take the chance. Let's roll. I'd rather head in his direction, and if we miss it, at least he's smart enough to correct it. They've done nothing but mess up all these years and never corrected none of it. See, knowing who you are, the change that he has brought, because just think, one man, by knowing who and what he is and where he can go, what he can do, what would the church would stand up?
Amen.
Amen.
What could we do?
Amen.
Preach.
Great preaching.
We're the redeemed of the
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're redeemed. You're children of God.
Amen.
There's no one has authority in the earth like the redeemed do. No one.
Amen.
There's no one that has the authority that you have.
That's right.
If a person, you know, this is really interesting because Christ has redeemed every human being. Everybody that dies today and goes to hell, they were redeemed. They just never received it.
That's right.
They were redeemed. They can't go there and say, well, you know, I went to hell because of my sin. No, you didn't. You went to hell because you didn't accept redemption.
That's right.
That's why. Oh, well, you know, you got sin. Well, I'm going to tell you, if we took this idea of sin, man, heaven's going to have seven people there. Maybe. And maybe a couple of those would be doubtful. If nobody ever missed the mark, that isn't what does it.
Amen.
Say, well, what if I go to heaven and I don't have some sin that wasn't confessed? Well, what if I, will I go to heaven? See, people get it. Forgiveness of sin gets me to heaven. Forgiveness, you get into this thing, and this thing runs and runs and runs into Christians. Christians are trying to stay out of sin legally. No, it has eternal life. That ain't changing. I have it. I have the life of God. I am redeemed. I'm not concerned about whether or not I'm going to get there. It's the condition I am when I get there.
Yeah.
That's what I'm dealing with here.
Mm-hmm.
Christians are just still dealing with trying to get there. What on earth is that about? Nothing's settled. I'm getting there.
Amen.
Now, we have a choice of how we get there, whether we get reward or not. Because we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And it's going to be a great embarrassment for many. When they found out that they lived in the flesh and dominated by the flesh, they were Christians and said, well, I didn't rob any banks. Yeah, you should have. You might as well. You wouldn't end up with any less reward. That's just one thing off the list. We didn't do that one. Darn, I should have got that one. But see, knowing who and what you are, that's what's going to change you. That changes your life.
Amen.
I thank God that those things were preached to me about righteousness and things. That's how I got a hold about divine healing and about divine health, about standing against things. I was not taught. See, I wasn't taught get sick and get healed. I wasn't taught that. I listened to Kenneth Hagin's teaching.
Amen.
It's how to keep it away from you.
Yeah.
What you do to keep things. But you know what? You don't keep it away from you because you're perfect.
Amen.
You don't keep it away from you. Your number one thing is to know who you are. You need to be able, if you can't differentiate between what's going on in your spirit and what's going on in your mind, you're not in contact with your spirit. You don't know. Your spirit man is foreign to you. You have to know. See, and the reason you know is by believing right. When you believe in right and thinking right, it's like with me. I know my inner man ain't doing evil. I know. The Holy Ghost is in there. If he's doing evil, then my conscience is going to bother me about that. I know that. You see, you have to live in this place. This is who I am. Because there's always things. The devil's going to accuse you. The devil's going to send people to accuse you. You know, I feel this all the time. Christians get up because of what sinners say about them. What the heck would a sinner know about being a Christian?
Amen.
Well, if you were a Christian, you wouldn't do this. So what would you know about it?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
What would you know about that? No, but we'll fall over and we'll just trip into their little place. The devil knows how to just drag Christians around by the nose. He hooks them in the nose and just pulls them all around. And it's around. And I'm just believing the Lord. No, you're not. You're following the devil. The devil just pulls you wherever he wants you to go because you don't know. You don't know who you are. See, no. Now I want you to think about this. See, Israel, here's one thing you differentiate between living a life of forgiveness or living a life of redemption. The life of redemption is the removal of guilt. You know, if you walk around feeling guilty, you're living out of your flesh. You're living out of forgiveness. You know what? My inner man's guilty of nothing. He's not guilty.
Amen.
Completely is innocent. There is no judgment against him. It isn't. See, one of the things I don't like, you know, they hear sometimes people preach it, and there is some songs that they do about being pardoned. You're not pardoned by God. If you're a pardon does this, a person commits a crime, and they're found guilty of it, and they give them a pardon, they're still guilty.
Right.
You're still guilty. I'm sorry, I didn't get a pardon. I got redemption. I'm completely innocent. The man in me only came into existence in January of 1980. My flesh was born in 1950. And it had a tough time when this guy on the inside, new guy, came along. Because it was used to doing things certain ways.
Amen.
And this new guy, there was a new gun hand in town who was a better draw than he was. And the inner man would shoot the outer man every once in a while. Your problem is a renewed mind. Get a redemptive new mind and get out of the forgiveness new mind. You're not pardoned. We sing, you know, I know who and what I am, but you know, most of the blood songs are about getting washed up.
That's right.
They are.
Yep.
There's a fountain filled with blood, and you know, there is no fountain filled with blood. There isn't. There's blood up in heaven that was put on the mercy seat of heaven that made what? A forgiveness of sin?
No. Nope.
It made an eternal redemption. You are redeemed eternally. It is not a temporary condition.
Hallelujah.
It is an eternal condition. You're eternally, your inner man, eternally is redeemed from the curse. Do you know there's Christians that lived lousy lives? And you know what? They're going to end up in heaven. See, that's why, you know, I always think about... what's his name, the evangelist, you know, with Kenneth Copeland, Jesse. Jesse got caught up to heaven in his book, and a guy makes it to heaven. And he's there. And this guy goes, oh my God, I made it. He did it. His life, he didn't expect what? He didn't, you know what? You live in the flesh, you're not conscious of your spirit. You don't know that you're born again. I run into Christians all the time that really don't know that they're born again. They've lost that. Their flesh is dominated, their minds are full of their own nonsense and stuff. They've lost the knowledge of who they really are. They don't know who they are anymore. They don't live in the knowledge of who they are anymore.
Amen.
And you know what? They get to heaven, they're going to be shocked. Do you know what? They'll get to heaven. See, people always, you know, what I'm preaching doesn't make a lot of religious people happy. It sort of makes them nervous. Because we don't differentiate between flesh and spirit. It's all mushed together and put into a bag and dumped out.
Yeah.
Your success as a Christian of overcoming and living in God's best is living out of your spirit. You're righteous. Your inner man's holy. People are trying to be holy. No, I'm trying to bring my flesh in line with holiness. I am holy. The real Ed is as holy as you. He's as holy as God. Now, my flesh ain't. But the real me, the real you, is holy. See, when you pray, he said, what you believe in your heart you can bring to pass. He didn't say, what you confess from your flesh and your end, it's from your heart. Most Christians, they think their flesh is their heart, and they feel guilty toward God. Well, I messed up and I can't get... They don't understand how the system works. There's one thing. I have been blessed in so many areas of things and stuff. Especially one of the things that really, from the standpoint of health, the miracles that I have seen. I just want you to know this. They didn't come because Ed is so Mr. Champion of keeping the flesh under all the time. I've learned this from the time I was young. I knew how to respond to God out of my spirit. And God responds to me not by my flesh, but by my spirit. Talk to God out of the perfect man. Quit talking to God out of your head. Get out of this stupid prayer lives. The weaknesses and the failures. Let the champion inside of you rise up. Let the real you rise up on the inside. You know, devil, you ain't doing this to me no more. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I ain't trying to get healed, I am.
Amen.
Healing lives in me. It ain't something I'm trying to get. Why would I try to get what I am? I'm full of life in me. Hallelujah. I got the life of God. You sing that song, I got the life of God in me.
Yes.
Well, that ain't a forgiveness song.
That's right.
That's a redemption song.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You'll find out, you know, you start living out of the man on the inside, you won't have so much to repent about.
That's right.
You won't have to ask God to forgive you all the time for the dumb things you do in your flesh. Mm-hmm. It's living out of that inner man. Living out of what you really are on the inside. Because I'm going to tell you what, it is phenomenal. That man on the inside is designed, specifically, perfectly designed to take the Word of God and have it implanted and produce exactly what the Word says.
Amen.
It's perfect soil. It's a perfect place. It's nurtured by God Himself, the Holy Spirit living in you. If that Spirit living in you is life can animate into your flesh, what would it do to those words that in there? What would that same Spirit be doing to those words that are inside of you? Now, there's things that you need to know and say. You know, I'm going to tell you what, if you'll listen to your inner man, you'll stand up and say things you didn't realize you know, and you'll bring it to pass.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit has the ability to bring to your remembrance everything that's ever been said to you. Jesus told the disciples, don't worry about what to say. You get in trouble? Hallelujah. The Spirit's going to bring to you the remembrance of everything I said.
Amen.
They ain't going to try to think it up. They're going to speak out of their spirit. It's going to come to pass. Whatever you can speak out of your spirit, you'll bring to pass. The reason people have trouble with healing, they never speak out of it. They just keep looking at their flesh and keep talking. They're talking to God about their flesh. And flesh, the flesh, the flesh, 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 flesh. I got this problem in my flesh. I'm flesh for the flesh. Say no? Hallelujah. The life in me, hallelujah. The Holy Spirit helps me animate that out of me. Hallelujah. To produce in the natural what's in me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Most people don't need more. A lot of people don't need more teaching. They need to yield the Holy Ghost. They need to know who they are.
Yeah.
You know who and what you are. Hallelujah. You'd be shocked at what's in you. Be shocked to find out. Hallelujah. Just one thing is, I learned a lot about that even from me yielding the teaching anointing. I'm amazed sometimes what God brings up out of me. I'm thinking, my God, I wish I'd have got that yesterday. I could have used that. Why? The Holy Spirit inside of you bringing things up out of you that is in you. You have much more in you than you know.
Amen.
But it can't come up out of you. If you're not yielded to who you really are, you keep yielding over more to the natural side of you. Hallelujah. My word. See, talk about yourself. One of the things I learned this is I began to talk about myself in line with these things of who I am. who I really am. See, you need to get that. You need to talk about the flesh side all the time and the things going on. Most people are trained in religion to talk about your weaknesses and your failures. We're trained in that. That's what religion does. Well, you're just a nobody. No, I'm sorry, I'm a somebody. God made me a somebody. I lived all my life. Can you imagine? You live your life as a sinner and you become get saved and now you're nobody. Could you have somebody say something so stupid in your life? I mean, the world don't even talk that dumb. You've got to go to church, somebody slap you in the head with that. Well, I'm really a nothing. Well, do you think Jesus died for nothings?
No.
Well, if Jesus died for anybody, it was for Ed. It was valuable to him.
Amen.
Now I stop and say, well, I don't understand why, but I don't care about the why.
Amen.
He done did it. So it's done.
Amen.
You can sit and think about that stuff and let that stuff go over your mind and keep yourself from the blessing of God.
Amen.
Instead of walking up and say, he did it. Say, why did he do it? He must have liked it.
Amen.
So I'm going to live like he likes it.
Amen.
How are you going to live? Like, well, I'm trying to please him. Well, he won't. I don't try to please God. I've been born to please God.
Amen.
That's my nature, is to please God. Anything outside of that is the flesh.
Amen, friends.
That needs to be changed. Flesh, you need to get into line, you're going to please him, whether you like it or not.
Amen.
Why? Because the guy on the inside. I'm just telling you today, you check your heart.
Amen.
Your heart loves him. Your heart craves to do his will.
Amen.
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 It does. I'm just telling you. He didn't say that one day to Ed Gibson because he was bawling and squalling on the floor. If you want to, don't judge your inner man after your flesh.
Amen.
Don't you ever do that. Your outer man isn't who you are.
Amen.
I don't identify with the world. I think they're nuts. And you know what? Why? Because I lived like them. The real me was like they were.
Amen.
They're crazy. I just feel sorry for so many Christians because they're identified with them.
That's right.
You're not. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. You're the people of God. You're a holy nation of people. You're kings and you're priests. That's what you... Do you think yourself is about being a king and a priest?
Amen.
Spiritually, I mean, I have the authority in this earth. The authority is whatever I bind on this earth, heaven gets behind. Whatever I loose on this earth, heaven... That's
Amen.
I'm a king. Only kings can do that.
That's right.
Amen.
I don't have authority over concerning a nation. I have authority any place I go in this earth.
Amen.
I have the authority to bind and loose.
Thank you.
I'm a king everywhere I go.
Hallelujah.
I'm a priest of God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. God lives in me. I'm his
Amen.
Temple. I'm hooked up with God wherever I go.
Amen.
I never pray and ask God to go with me. To me, that's a sacrilege. Well, I can't go anywhere without him.
Amen.
He don't say, well, Lord, you're going away today. I'm staying home taking a nap. We'll see you. Now, if you pray and ask me, I'll go with you. If I go to the wrong place, he goes. He's with me. See, living in the knowledge. See, this is redemption. Israel had none of this. God was in one temple at one place. They had to show up every time of the year if you wanted to go to the presence of God, because the presence of God was not with them.
Amen.
They had to go to the presence. You and I are redeemed. The presence of God is in you.
Preach.
I'm trying to get into the presence of God. I don't want to write me a book and tell me how to get into the presence of God. My God, live like you're the redeemed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
God is present in you.
Hallelujah.
We're not reaching out to a God in the heavens. We're Amen. Reaching to the God who is in us.
Hallelujah.
God's will in heaven is to be in perfect communion. And so we pray it into the earth. Why? People get born again. God's in them. Hallelujah. Just like God wanted.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God right here. God with you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
See, I always think of when they sing the song, it says, Emmanuel, God with us. And I always sing it, God with me.
Amen.
See, God's in me.
Amen.
See, God's with us. God came in the earth. Jesus was in the earth with all them, but he wasn't living in any of them. He was just walking around. Redemption changed everything.
Amen.
God moved into it. You're a temple. Can you imagine? Now, I want you to think about it. God could not live in your spirit if your spirit was wrong. He couldn't.
That's right.
If your spirit was evil, God ain't living into some evil place.
Nope.
This is why Christians don't know who they are. Well, my heart's wrong. Your heart's wrong. What, the Holy Ghost move out? The Holy Spirit be? See, what God wants me to do is get you thinking today.
Amen.
And go to a thinking on a higher level.
Amen.
At a place of redemption. Hallelujah. This is wonderful knowledge. And this is the kind of knowledge that overcomes. That it makes you an overcomer. Hallelujah. That you can lead others to overcome.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's what we want to do. Hallelujah. We want to lead others to overcome.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, we're going to take communion this morning. This table is about our redemption. Hallelujah. It's about our body. God became a man. And you're identified in that body. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, and if you rightly divide the truth, if you rightly divide it, if you rightly divide truth, you're in him. You know, we talk about, you know, he washed away my sins. I'm going to tell you what. The people say, well, the curse of the law. The curse, my curse, the Bible says, was nailed to the tree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't even find that stupid cross. Now, these people lie and say, we found pieces of the cross. Biggest bunch of garbage you ever heard in your life. Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing but religious people trying to trick people into something, you know.
Yep.
Trying to make natural things holy.
Yep.
You want to run into something holy? Come here, touch it.
Amen. That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
Let me touch you. See,
hallelujah.
Too holy. We're two holy people.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Man, I'll tell you, I'm better than any old cross with a nail in it.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It was because a man's body, and that man's body had blood in it, and that blood made an eternal redemption for you. Always treat. Our redemption is eternal. Don't you ever, ever think about your redemption as being something that's going to be changed. It ain't going to be changed. It's eternal. Do you want to go to something else? Well, I'm going to tell you what, your heart sure don't want to. Your heart sure don't want to do nothing else. Your heart wants to follow God. Hallelujah. You get yourself into that thinking today. Put aside the weaknesses or your failures and begin to more emphasis on who you really are. You won't have so many weaknesses and failures.
Amen.
I'm just telling you. True knowledge is what put people over.
Amen.
We're not sitting in a huddle here today to talk about our problems. We're here today to talk about our victory.
Hallelujah.
What we have overcome through Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
And we're going to honor him by taking those elements that he said we did to remind us of the redemption he gave you and me. Hallelujah. That the life of God is in us. Shouldn't that be enough to change a body?
Amen.
Let's focus on the life in us instead of the mishaps of the flesh.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We'll go a lot further.
Amen.
Glory to God. We'll become a lot more spiritual. Hallelujah. When spirituality is allowed to emanate out of us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it will. You'll find it emanating more and more out of you.
Amen.
Of who you are.
Jesus.
You're not called to live a life of guilt and feel guilty. If you feel guilty about things and you've confessed it, you're not living in the light of redemption. You're not letting redemption. If you focused on redemption, you'll confess your sin if you missed it, and you'll lay guilt aside. You won't let the devil mess with you. If you feel guilty about it, it's because you don't live in redemption. You keep looking, well, you know, I just don't feel right. I don't give a rip how Ed feels about anything anymore. My flesh is so flaky, how it might go from one day to the next sometimes in its feelings, it don't matter.
That's right. Amen.
I don't determine whether I'm healed, whether my body says, I just don't feel right. Who cares? The guy on the inside says, I'm full of life, and I'll tell you, it'll emanate into my body.
Hallelujah.
And it'll quicken my mortal body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what happens.
Lord.
Say, well, do you feel the power? I don't need to feel power.
Hallelujah.
They'll believe in the words enough.
Amen.
that's the victory. Hallelujah. It's believing. Your victory is believing what you are, not trying to feel what you are.
Amen.
I bet Trump gets up some morning and don't feel so much like president. But you know what? He don't have to put it down. He'll just act. He'll get up, go do it.
Amen.
That's right.
I'm glad he ain't the old goosebump church. If I get some goosebumps, I'll feel that God's with me.
Yep.
I'll tell you. I like Trump. He'll go to the lion's den. He deliberately goes to the lion's den. He invites the lions right into his office. He ain't scared. He ain't like Christians. Oh my God. I don't want to get around them. They give me, I just can't take it. Oh. He says, nah, bring the jerks in.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hey, they don't scare me at all. They don't know what to do with him. I like that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's like Jesus more than a lot of Christians are.
Amen.
He's not afraid.
Amen.
God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. See, my inner man's never afraid. I have to deal with my flesh.
Amen.
Fear is your flesh. It ain't coming out of your spirit. Your spirit's Amen. Not afraid. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. How could you have one in it?
Amen.
We're dealing with the flesh. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we just want to thank you today. Lord, I thank you for the victory Jesus gave her. Lord God, I want to thank you. There ain't no curse on us. That we're not cursed. We're the blessed. And Lord God, not by our great deeds, but your great deeds, but we just receive it and we are going to declare it. We're going to walk in it. We're going to live in it. Lord God, hallelujah. We're going to rejoice. Hallelujah. We're going to tell others about it. Father, we're going to tell people they need redeemed. They need to be changed. Hallelujah. Lord God, I want to thank you for great redemption. Hallelujah. That is so powerful. I want to thank you. And it was made by a blood that was of no other blood. None else could be like it. It was by the perfect man. And that perfect blood was taken into the holies of heaven. And it made an eternal redemption that all we had to do was believe on the one. Believe on the one, hallelujah, who delivered us. We called on him. We believe, Lord God, you raised him from the dead. We believe, Lord God, hallelujah. We declare Jesus Christ is our Lord. Hallelujah. That's who he is. We're the saved of the Lord. That's who we are. We're saved. Hallelujah. I thank you so much. I'm saved. Hallelujah. I'm saved. The curse of the law no longer exists. Hallelujah. I have redemption. I'm righteous. I'm holy before God. Hallelujah. The same spirit that raised Jesus is dwelling in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're the holies of God. We're the priests of God. And we have the authority of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in this earth. Hallelujah. And we're going to walk in it. We're going to live in it. Hallelujah. Because that's who we are. Glory to God. Lord, we're not trying to be any of these things. We've been made this way. Hallelujah. Lord, quicken these revelations. Quicken these thoughts to us. Lord, we want these seeds growing up in our hearts, Lord God, of a people of boldness and strong toward our faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father God, that victory emanates out of us and blesses people around us, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father God, the victory don't stay within us. Hallelujah. But we bring many to victory in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
We thank you for it, Lord God. Hallelujah. And Father, we want to thank you today. We can come to these elements because these are the elements of the church. These are the elements of our victory. These are the elements of our champion. Hallelujah. The one who redeemed us. And we thank you. Everything that he is, we became. Hallelujah. We took on his very inheritance. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Father. Father, we're not going to crawl to this today. Lord, when we miss the mark, we're just going to repent. We're going to bring our flesh under. Hallelujah. And we're just going to walk in the victory of who we are in Christ Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.